individualized therapies, both traditional and innovative. When you're helping a loved one recuperate, make the smart decision and call 694-2144. We'll give you a tour of our facility so you can see the family atmosphere between our staff and residents, which makes the Holt Senior Care and Rehab Center a home away from home. When the hospital asks where you want your loved one to go for rehab, make the smart call and tell them the Holt Senior Care and Rehab Center. Call 694-2144.
Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Well, go you Northwestern. That's a game we're not picking.
Interesting
today.
Game today.
Central Michigan and
I think the Chips might hang around for a while.
Think they'll win?
No. I think Northwestern's got too much talent for Central. And Central, maybe a year ago, I'd be saying something different, but it'll be interesting to see how that, it's probably of many lousy games in Big Ten play today. That's one of the more interesting.
Two things I want to say about Central Michigan this year. You know, they had that win last week where they crushed Eastern Michigan, and obviously this isn't the Eastern Michigan team with Andy Schmidt. But there have been some really good Central Michigan teams that didn't do that against Eastern Michigan.
Right, and there's also a Central Michigan team that should have beat Temple. You know, and Temple, you know, beat UConn last week. Yeah. You start doing these compare and contrast, exactly. And then you get a real evaluation. Out to the phones we go, Jack.
All right, let's bring in Drew Sharp, columnist with the Detroit Free Press. I don't know if this guy's got jet lag, but he's just back from the West Coast. Hello, Drew.
Oh, my God. You talk about serious jet lag.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Lansing right now. I'm just about at the game right now. So,
Did you sleep on the plane at all?
I slept on the entire flight. I rarely sleep on airplanes, but I slept the entire flight. But I figured the best way to watch MSU against Northern Colorado is when you're half asleep.
Why would you even go to this game today, Drew? I mean, why would they book you to go to that thing?
Well, because Michigan's playing at noon and Michigan State's playing at noon, and someone's got to be at the game. So.
Hey, you went to Michigan UMass last week. What's the difference between these two games? They're the same game.
Right. Same game, basically, yeah.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Let the Big Ten games begin.
Hey, Drew, in fairness, I want to give you a chance to clarify something because we had a call last week and talked about something that was written regarding the Lions and that situation. And a lot of times... in the heat of battle, there are mistakes that are made, and I make them every single day. But I want to talk a little bit about that and the fact that it was just a matter of the timing of when something occurred, right?
Yeah, the Dane Chris, the play where the mistake I made first of all was going to the bathroom. Right before Notre Dame's second possession, which is a big mistake right there. In the future, I'm going to keep my legs crossed for the entire game. And when I came back, I thought that Chris had thrown the interception. And listening to Notre Dame radio, they were saying that he had lost sight of his right eye. And I'm working on the assumption that he had thrown the pick, and they're saying it has affected his play. So I thought, okay, this is what this contributed to the fact that he made the turnover. And I talked with the Notre Dame PR people and asked them specifically about, I'm hearing on the radio that he lost sight in his right eye and it contributed to the pick in the last series. And they said, yeah, he lost sight in his right eye and it affected his play on that last series. But they thought I meant after, again, the pick thrown by Reeves. I thought it was the pick thrown by Chris, you know. But there was a conversation between him and Brian Kelly and me. And, you know, it's a mistake. It's a bad mistake on my part. But the notion that this was some type of fraud perpetrated, that was deliberately perpetrated on the public, is outrageous. It's ridiculous. But, you know, this is what it is right now with the media, especially when it's the free press, especially when it involves University of Michigan, because people think that we have a grudge against University of Michigan. It's completely outrageous. It's ridiculous. But, you know, hey, as I told people, that the few people who even asked, who bothered to ask how this happened, that you know what? Mistakes are going to happen. Unfortunately, you try to prevent them as much as possible, but mistakes are going to happen. But that's what it was. It was just a stupid mistake.
Well, the Detroit News got a similar reaction, Tom, with some Michigan State University allegations a while back, and you get into a kill the messenger thing. That wasn't fair to the guys at the news either. So that's kind of the way it goes these days. But we've established that we need to have catheters for the press so that there are no more bathroom breaks.
Yeah, you know, again, it happens. And, you know, a lot of people were asking me, you know, because Chris came out and said, he had a press conference and said, yeah, you know, he lost sight in his right eye. I mean, that whole thing happened. And people were wondering, well, how come you're not going out and defending yourself more? I said, well, first of all, no one wants to hear someone from the media cry about something.
Right.
Especially when you're a critical columnist like myself. So you just got to sit there and take it.
Hey, Drew, and going another direction, I want to commend you, and I don't always agree with you. On what you say in your column. I read your columns. You do a great job. But I have to agree 100% with your column this week about Braylon Edwards with his DWI and the breathalyzer 1.6. You indicated that he has taken himself from the elite status. Because I was really disappointed in that because Braylon, you know, and this goes back when we were doing the old show and I was going down to press conferences and met this guy. And I thought he was really maturing. And this really disappoints me. I mean, drunk driving is one of those pet peeves that I find it intolerable. And this one you hit home with. So I want to commend you on that.
No, I appreciate it. Because it surprised me as well because anyone who talks with Braylon, at U of M, you figure that this guy understands it. He gets it. He had a certain charisma about him. And I remember an interview I had with him for his last year there where he was saying that, you know what, he's looking forward to the opportunity of perhaps playing in the NFL because he can help change the perception that people have about athletes. And now he's basically become the poster child for the spoiled brat athlete. He can't use the excuse that, well, I didn't have a father. My parents, I didn't have that support system. He had it all. Mm-hmm. He had it all, and he's wasting it. And it's really disappointing. It's probably disappointed me more than some of these other stories that you hear of athletes who are blowing opportunities because you thought, and I thought as well, that this was a guy who's going to break that mold and perhaps, you know, set a new standard for how athletes are going to conduct themselves. But instead, it's the same old, same old.
We're talking with Drew Sharp, columnist of Detroit Free Press, just back from the West Coast, and he's in East Lansing for the Northern Colorado game today. Drew, why is it that this happens all the time to receivers? Tom and I were talking about this last night. Michigan State's had 4 or 5 of these guys get in trouble. We see Randy Moss is no day at the beach, and Owens. You know, we've got a lot of these kinds of things now, Braylon. What is it about the receiver personality?
I think receivers are divas for the most part. They have to bring attention onto themselves because they are supporting players. They can only succeed if the quarterback gets them the ball.
That's true.
They can only succeed if they have a strong running back, which opens up opportunities for them. And I think this is part of their character in that they have to shout the loudest because if not, people aren't necessarily going to automatically pay attention to them.
It's a one position.
Why you look at those guys.
Yeah, it's a one position, Jack and Drew, that you don't have control on the football field.
Right.
You're at the mercy of the quarterback and the offensive line protecting
exactly.
the quarterback. You go get separation, but the QB's got to get you the football.
Exactly. And I think that has a lot to do with it, that when you see receivers are the ones who, I mean, there was a poll about the most unpopular athletes in sports right now, and two of the top five were wide receivers, and T.O. hitting Ocho Cinco. So,
right.
And why is that? It's not that, you know, these guys have broken the law, but they bring attention onto themselves because they want themselves to be the show. And for them to do that, it means they have to take the initiative instead of just letting the attention come to them naturally.
I knew there was a reason I liked Blair White. Wanted to talk about the end of the game last Saturday, and everyone's stupefied at the play call. If you look at it, it's a very logical, very rational call in light of the field goal attempt, and then, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to make that or win in overtime. And it was very well set up. I think the only other play call I can recall on a gadget play like that at the end of the game, I'm talking about a fumble Ruski in the third quarter or something, was the Boise State win over Oregon with that Statue of Liberty play. Right. As far as I know, Charlie Gant and Aaron Bates didn't offer any marriage proposals. But can you talk about your reaction when you saw Bates stand up to throw?
Well, at that point, you know, I'm looking at him and say, well, you know, State's going to lose this game. You know, that they put themselves in a spot where a game that should have been won. And, you know, and up to that point, I thought that you can make a legitimate gripe against the coaching. That, you know, they got to do, you know, the coaching has to, they've been too conservative. And all of a sudden, they call this play. It's a ballsy call, without question. And the fact that it worked, I'm going, my goodness, that was one hell of a call.
If Charlie Gant drops that ball, what kind of call is it?
Still a good call.
It's a good call to make. If he drops the pass or Bates doesn't, you look at it and say, what the hell is he thinking of? But, no, the call, the fact that he made the call when he did, it was a good call. And the fact it was executed perfectly, that, you know, he's a genius now because of that. But that will go down. I've covered so many strange games in my career, and that will go down as one of the strangest ones because, again, you know, little did we realize that after we talked with Mark Antonio about, like, 12:15 a.m. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning, 15 minutes later, he experiences chest pain, you know, after he leaves the trailer talking with the reporters. So, you know, it's just one of those games, one of those nights where it's gonna stick with you for quite some time because of the way the game was won and then the immediate aftermath. And just it was just incredible how, you know, MSU had soared to such heights. And then we find out the next day that, a terrible thing had happened and everyone's just grateful right now that the coach is going to be fine and he'll be returning to the sidelines fairly soon.
You know, Drew, there seems that a lot of the bigger wins in Mark D'Antonio's coaching tenure have been accompanied by a trick play.
Yeah.
Remember the first year when they beat Notre Dame and Brian Hoyer looked like he'd fallen down. He put the ball on the ground, and then he threw the touchdown pass.
Right.
And then they beat Penn State. They had no business winning that game. And they have the fake punt with J.U. Calcrick. And the Penn State guys kept bouncing off of them. And so sometimes you do have to take a chance. And unless you're clearly the better team, a lot of times the more aggressive team is the one that wins a game.
No, exactly. But I think what people are looking for out of this program, though, is that, you know, can they dominate a good team? Can they win a game strictly because they are the better team? They have the better players and the better coaching and not just relying on a trick play. That works, you know. I mean, again, it was a great win for the Spartans last week, without question. You know, because, you know, if they lose that game, you know, a game that they should have won, you know, who knows what the aftermath would have been because of that. But you still look at this program and wonder, are they really getting the most out of what they have? And I think that's still a legitimate question people can ask about Coach D, in that. It is, if the talent is improving, like everyone says it is, they're doing a good job recruiting-wise, if the talent is improved, then why aren't they more aggressive in the play calling throughout the entire 60-minute game, not just for one play?
Well, Drew, I was going to get you real quickly. Our last question is to really get an evaluation of Michigan State, because the first two outings, the first two games, I wasn't totally impressed by Michigan State, and this wasn't a real huge wow factor in this win over Notre Dame. I don't think Michigan, Notre Dame, and Michigan State are all that good defensively. And so, you know, what are your real true thoughts about how good this team could be?
Well, again, I think I wrote this at the start of the year that if they don't win nine games with the schedule, with as favorable schedule as they have, there should be some serious questions about whether. That if Mark is the coach that can take this team to that next level, from just being a 7-win team to a team that could consistently be a 9-win program. They should be that way. They should be that way. And, you know, Notre Dame, it was true with the U of M game the week before. For whatever reason, this country looks at beating Notre Dame as some type of tremendous achievement.
Right.
The reason why people thought UConn was good going into this season, they went to South Bend last year and beat Notre Dame.
That made them iconic, just by themselves. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That made UConn a good team. Then we see them against Michigan and go, they're not as good as we thought they were. So it's we still don't know how good either of these teams are. They should be 4-0, though, going into the start of the conference season, but they have big games for both these teams next week. Indiana is a big game for
Look
U of
out.
M.
Absolutely huge. They could easily lose
game.
That game.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
No question.
Indiana can put points on the board. They have a quarterback, they have a good running back, and a good wide receiver. And people I know down there in Indiana have been telling me they've been circling that game since last year.
They are
looking at this for it's a big game for Lynch. If he can win that game, it saves his job.
Right. When's the last time Indiana beat Michigan?
You got to go back to probably 87. I think
more than 3 years.
Yeah, I think more of a chance for Michigan to lose at Indiana than Michigan State to lose at home in Wisconsin.
You're crazy.
I'm
Wisconsin's
serious.
A top 10 team. You're out of your mind.
Wisconsin, yeah, they've been really wowing people, haven't they? They suck
Indiana.
So far.
Yeah.
You know, that's
Tom, right. I agree with you.
Hey,
Tom,
he agrees with me, baby.
One.
Nice
Tom,
job.
I agree
Drew.
With you on this one. Indiana,
you're in bad company,
Indiana's a tough game. Indiana's going to be a tough game for him.
There
if
you
if
go.
Rich goes down there and wins that game, that will be his most impressive win to date. If he goes down to Indiana.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Wow. Okay, I tell you what, Drew, I'm going to talk to you about this in the press box because we can do some business on this.
Uh-oh. All right. I sent a wager.
Sounds good. We'll be back with our final segment. I want to thank Drew Sharp of the Detroit Free Press for joining us. We'll be back with our predictions and to wrap it up on the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.
When you're injured, you need experts to protect your rights. The law.